Public service announcement. I have just temporarily closed the doors to Lifestyle Business School. If you are a current or aspiring expertise-based business that has a business, courses, coaching, masterminds, where you are divorcing your value from your time, or that is the business model that you want, you likely know that Lifestyle Business School is the program that I have been tirelessly working on over the last 6 months to build out 6 comprehensive playbooks, which basically lay out the entire path. It has everything from business model design to offer creation to back-end delivery to driving traffic, live launch campaigns, automated campaigns, everything you could possibly need to start or grow a leveraged expertise-based business to the lifestyle business sweet spot. Now, never fear, because we've only temporarily closed the doors and we have added a wait list. So if you head to lifestylebusiness.school/join, pop your name on the waitlist and you are going to be notified when we open up the doors with everything built out, which is super exciting, and all of the exciting changes that we have made to the program as well, which we will share in due course. But in order to get the special VIP bonuses when we do open the door, I want you to go and pop your name on the waitlist now. So that is going to be lifestylebusiness.school/join. Put your name on the waitlist and you will be the first to be notified when we open up the doors with everything built out, with a lot of exciting changes and with pretty much the best deal under the sun. All right, let's get into today's podcast episode. Welcome to Lifestyle Business School, the podcast. I'm Stevie Dillon, and this is the podcast for the behind-the-scenes strategy on how to package and market what you know to build an impact-driven, freedom-based lifestyle business. Download our free 28-page business diagnostic and get access to a super juicy, free 4-part training on how to start, build, and grow your expertise-based lifestyle business over at lifestylebusiness.school/free or visit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, a huge welcome to today's podcast episode. If you're listening to this in real time, you will notice that today's podcast episode has come out a little touch late. And that is because I have been struck with the ultimate illness over the last few days. I am coming back to life today, which is amazing. I still have a little one sick on the couch watching Peppa Pig. Anyone that is the mum would know the juggle. But one thing that I have promised myself is that I'm going to stay consistent with the things that I have said that I will do. And one of those things is this podcast. And so even though I was in no state to record it yesterday, and I have not been kind of recording my podcasts in advance for the last little while, I did want to make sure that I got this out this week. And so here I am, feeling grateful for my health and looking forward to today's podcast episode, because it is the first time I have been up and about properly in the last 48 hours. My gosh. What I want to talk to you today about is a little bit of the behind the scenes, kind of an extension of what I was talking about in not last week's podcast episode, where we spoke about the importance of a marketing plan, but the episode before, where I spoke about 7 counterintuitive things that I'm doing to grow my business this year. I spoke in that episode about the importance of assembling the iceberg before you break out of the water and do all of the sexy things that you see on the front end, the sales, the marketing, all of the things. And that is where I am at the moment. And what that looks like for me is a lot of product development. So a lot of hard, deep work creating curriculum for Lifestyle Business School. Specifically at the moment, I am working on Traffic Playbook, which is a playbook for generating traffic, which I think is the missing link for a lot of people. And so I thought that I would share the behind the scenes of what the process of creating curriculum and the kind of the ideation and the creative process that I have been going through over the last little while, because I know that it can feel really tough for people. And I know that I love when other people share their insights into what their creative process looks like for them. Now, like anything, I am sharing my perspective here. You will have your own take. There will be things that will work for you differently in terms of the sort of person you are, in terms of the way that you like to work. Take what you like from today's podcast episode and leave the rest. But I do think that it is always useful when other people share the behind the scenes of their process, and I hope that this is going to be helpful for you as well. So I want to share step by step the process for me of creating a digital course in terms of curriculum development right from the very start all the way through to the end. Now, even though I am talking about the creation of a digital course, I think that this is applicable to the creation of anything creative. I would imagine that somebody writing a book would go through the same iterative process that I'm about to walk through here. I think on a smaller scale, it also applies to content creation, whether that's on social media or podcast, YouTube, whatever it is that you create inside of your business. So even if you are not a business that creates curriculum per se, I think that this process might be helpful for you to kind of get a perspective on how somebody else does it, even if that is not the thing that you do inside of your business. So one big thing that I have really noticed when it comes to creativity for me is that I can't turn the tap on and turn the tap off. I used to have a process where I would block time out in my calendar for big projects. And for me, big projects are usually creative projects. It might be writing the copy for a sales page. It might be creating lessons for a course. It might be creating podcast episodes. And so I would have a kind of period of time blocked out in my calendar, which I would invariably never, ever be able to commit to. Here is why. I don't think the creative process can be pigeonholed into a 2-hour block of time on a Monday morning. Even if it is the time that you are the most productive in terms of, you know, your chronotype, the way that you work, when you feel the most energized, I don't think that that's how it works when it comes to creativity. I actually saw, I keep getting targeted, they must have a huge ad budget, an ad for a tool called Motion, I think it is, Motion app. And it's basically this AI calendar tool where you input all of the things that you need to do in the space of a day or a week. And it seems to like automatically populate your calendar with all of the things that you need to do. Every time I see that ad, I am like, I am the least likely person ever to purchase that thing. I wish they would stop spending their ad budget on me. I feel sorry for them because I'm like, I do not work like that. I can't just sit down and have time blocked out and it's like my creative time, because I find that there isn't a specific timeline to which you can assign the creative work associated with, for me, curriculum development, but this also applies to content creation, social media posts, podcasting, all of the things. So the way that I used to do it is that I would have my calendar blocked out. You know, if I needed to create a course, I would say, okay, great. I'm going to work on module one in this 1 week. And on Monday, I'm going to do lessons 1 to 3. I'm going to do lessons 4 to 6 on Tuesday. And I would inevitably end up feeling frustrated, overwhelmed, and behind. Here is why. There is a huge, for me at least, ideation process involved with like the creative process. And what I mean by that is that in order to create something great, I need the space to ideate, to think, to sharpen the axe, to get the structure and the ideas right. And that for me always inevitably takes far longer than the time that I allocate to it. Now, that always pushes out my timeframes. And so what that means for me, if I have time kind of allocated in my calendar to do it, is that I start to feel frustrated and overwhelmed and like I am falling behind before I have even really even started, right? Now, I know that that actual part of the process is the most transformative in terms of the end result. The time that I spend stopping and thinking about the overall concept, thinking about how it can be differentiated from, you know, other offers in the market, thinking about how I can simplify things so that it is easy as possible for the end user. That is actually the stuff that ends up making it a great offer at the end of the day. And so if I don't give myself however long it takes to do that, it is actually going to hinder the process further down the track. So that is the first thing that I wanted to mention when it comes to the creative process for me. It always takes longer than I think it will, and it always requires more of an ideation process at the start. And so therefore, what I have realized is that I can't fit that creativity into a box where I need to create a certain thing on a certain day. That just doesn't work for me. So here is the creative process that does work for me. And I'm going to step it out into six steps. So step number one is that ideation phase. Now, like I said, this always takes longer than I think it will. Always. I will allocate a certain amount of time. So for Traffic Playbook, for example, I was like, okay, so the first week I will spend getting all of the ideas and the concepts together. And invariably, by the end of the first week, I was still trying to like map out exactly what the framework was and, you know, the modules and how it all fit together and how the structure would work. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm a week behind already. And so what I have realized is that I actually need to incorporate that into the process. So for me, that ideation phase kind of breaks my brain a little bit. I go over and over the framework, the methodology, how to lay everything out and how to make things feel simple. I actually think the hardest part of this process is making things simple and saying what you need to say in fewer words or fewer minutes in terms of like watch time. I think it's very easy to be overly verbose, to create a whole heap of things. I actually think that the magic is being able to say very, very simply what a concept is and how to achieve it. And that actually takes so much more time. Now, like I said, I do think that this is what makes all the difference when it comes to the end result. And so I always feel a huge sense of achievement when this ideation phase is done, because I know that it's the most painful part. I am not fun to be around in this particular phase, but it's like, I don't know, this is a weird analogy, but it's like birthing ideas, it's like you kind of like, it's so hard getting it out there, right? And then once it's out there, it's like, okay, so I've kind of like, I've got the general gist, I've got the concept, and then it's just putting it all together. So that is step one. Never ever should I assign a time period for that. Sometimes it will be over and done with really quickly, and that is amazing. So for example, for Rinse and Repeat, which is our launch program, that was pretty quick for me because I understood exactly what I needed to put in there, as opposed to Traffic Playbook, where I was like, these are all brand new concepts and I need to work out how to structure them in the right way. So number two, once I have gone through that ideation phase, is what I call the mapping phase. So for me, with curriculum development, I actually love to create a skeleton first and foremost so that I kind of understand the structure of what the course is going to be. And so the way that I do that, and this is just what works for me, is I will actually go into the portal, I will brand it. So for example, in Lifestyle Business School, we have like a suite of courses all with different and aligned colors, but the same logo and kind of similar stock imagery. So I brand it first and foremost so that I know like the look and feel of it. And then I will go in and I will actually like map out. So I'll create shells of each of the modules and I will create shells of each of the lessons. So what the lesson names are, what the modules are, like I will move things around from there, but at least I have like the rough skeleton of what the course will look like. I will also generally go in and write the summary inside of the lesson block and the action steps, because for every lesson that you create, it should have an actionable like learning outcome and like action item attached to it. And so that helps me to map out, okay, so what is this lesson about? And then what is the action item that is associated with that? So I go through and I do that, and that actually feels really fun for me, but also pretty deceiving, because when I'm done, it kind of looks like the entire course is created because all of the lesson shells and all of the pretty headings are in there, but it's not created. And so it's like, it's kind of like, yeah, a little bit of a tease, because you're like, I can see like the end result, but I actually need to go in now and I need to flesh it out, right? I've done the skeleton, but I need to flesh out the entire curriculum. So that is step two, which is mapping. Step number three is what I call the first pass. So once I have mapped everything out and I have done the ideation around what the framework is, where everything is going to go together, what it's going to look like, I will go through and create a first pass of each module and lesson. Now, the way that I usually do this is that I will open up Canva, which is where I create my slides. I have a templated slide deck. I use Google Sheets for my workbooks, so I also have a template for my workbooks. I will open both of those up and I will start to like very messily map out what the lessons and supplementary materials are going to look like. Now, if anybody saw this, they would be like, what on earth? It is always messy AF. It's like I'm writing headings with lots of typos, you know, uppercase and lowercase, it's just all over the place. I've just got random kind of ideas in there. But what I love with Canva is that when you go into the slide view, you can actually then move the slides around. And so what I love about that is that it's almost like writing out your ideas on post-it notes, but in more detail. You're like putting all of the ideas on the post-it notes. I've got all of the heading slides. You can have up to 350 slides in a Canva document at the moment, which has been game-changing for me. And so I'll put it all in there and then I'll kind of like start to move things around. I can move blocks of, you know, slides around, and it starts to kind of come to life in terms of what it's going to look like. Now, like I said, at this stage, it is always messy AF. It is what I imagine the first draft of a book would look like, you know, where you get all of the ideas out and then you need to go back and do all of the edits. It's like 50 to 60% there, but it needs a lot of zhuzhing. So I'll move things around, I'll delete things, I'll add things in, and then I'll move on, because I know that the next step is the second pass where I will go through and make it all perfect. So step three is the first pass. Step four is the second pass. So by now I kind of have like the messy course done. So it's pretty much like it's all there. There's a lot of notes on things that I still need to add in. Like I pretty much have all of the ideas there, but I keep thinking of things where I'm like, I should take this out, I should put this back in. So the second pass, which is step four, is where I go back through everything with fresh eyes and I edit ruthlessly. Now, this is actually something that takes a lot of time. It doesn't feel as hard as step three, though. Step three feels really hard because it's getting all of the ideas out there and the concepts out there onto paper, not onto paper, onto Canvas slides. But once you have that, you kind of have everything there, and then it's like going through and it's zhuzhing, right? I actually enjoy step four because it's going through and making everything right. And I have this sense of accomplishment as well. Like I can see the finish line. It is not deep, deep thought, and it kind of feels good. It feels good to kind of put the polish and the shine on everything and to make sure that it's the best that it can possibly be. So that is where I am currently at with Traffic Playbook at the moment. And the reason why I really enjoy this part of it, because I emerge. So I feel like with steps one, two, three, I'm really like doing the work, right? Like it feels hard. There's a lot to it. Once I get to step four, it's not that deep thinking so much. And so I sort of start to feel that sense of accomplishment. And I feel that kind of like I can see the finish line and I can see the impact it's going to make. And it starts to feel really good. So step number five, once I have done the second pass, is that I will record and edit. So sometimes I will do this per module and sometimes all at once, but over a few days. So for me, generally, what I have realized about myself is that being on video of any kind feels really, really draining to me. Like if there is one thing that drains like 10 of my battery points, it is being on video. And so I can't, like, I will burn myself out if I just try to motor through and create all of the lessons and record everything all at once. And so generally what I do is I will do it in chunks. I'm always the most energized in the morning. So I will do that in the morning. Then I take a big break. And then sometimes I'll do a couple of like lighter lessons in the afternoon or not at all. Because what I have realized is if I go too hard with this process, it starts to actually even feel rushed on the recordings and I start to lose like the energy. And I've done so much work in the other phases to make sure that the curriculum is great that you don't want to kind of get onto the video recording and then it goes downhill, right? So from there, I go through the editing process. Now, I actually edit my course videos myself. It is always very light editing. All I ever really need to do is just top and tail it. If there is ever an error, I will always pause while I'm recording. I'll clap and then I'll know to go back through and I can see like where the claps are on the sound bites and I'll just cut those out. And then I will export the video and then it is done. So once I have done that, I then make sure that everything is put into a curriculum library so that it is all ordered perfectly. I upload it to the video post host, and then I actually put it into the portal myself. Now, I used to have a VA that did this particular step for me. I actually find that as part of the process, like I really have a flow at the moment in terms of doing it. I actually feel like I can order things better in my mind if I just go in and I do that myself, because then I can look at the blurb that I've got. I can look at the action items, make sure that everything matches up. So that is the product created by this stage. Now, one thing with the creation of courses or curriculum or content that is like a big lift like this is that it is a lot of upfront work. So the asset creation is a lot of heavy lifting. But of course, once that is done, you have an asset that is inside of your business and it is something that is working for you and has increasing time leverage for you over time. Like the work involved with the upfront like lift, even though it is a lot, do not get me wrong, it is done and then you can leverage it over and over. So step number six is release. So this is obviously awesome. You love this time. But it's not actually over at that particular point. So I will get the course out there. And from there, what I do is I watch and I listen. So even though you will, as much as you can, be able to, you know, accommodate all of the questions that you think are going to come up and all of that sort of thing. And, you know, if you follow the processes that we have in Lifestyle Business School, you will actually use, you know, you will actually create your curriculum as an iterative process alongside students so that you can start to get their questions and things in real time. But once you release it, there are still going to be places where people get stuck. There is going to be things that need to change. There are going to be questions that come up a lot. And so the last step of the process is that you'll have a curriculum update library. And so for every lesson that you create, you want to have a little note where you're like, okay, so where do I need to make amendments? Or what are the questions that are coming up in relation to this? And they're coming up more than once or twice or three times. And actually, I need to revise that lesson or I need to create a resource to add into the curriculum in order to address that. And so that generally will happen, you know, in the first kind of 3 to 4 months that you release a course, or if you deliver it live, you actually get a lot of that feedback much more quickly. That's why I always think that it's good to do like a sprint or a group program style the first time that you run curriculum, because you very quickly get feedback on the things that do need to change. And then that's it. So that is the creative process. Like I say, that's it. Obviously, there is a lot to it. But I do think it is maybe helpful for someone to really tangibly walk through what that creation process looks like for them. And so for me, let me just run through what those steps are again. So step number one is ideation. Always takes longer than you think. Like I said, I always break my brain going over and over it. I don't think that you can assign a time frame to this particular element of the creation process. And I think it can be really frustrating and just letting yourself down, you know, if you do try to do that. Step number two is mapping it. So for me, I actually go into the portal and I will map it all out. Step number three is the first pass. So I'll go through and do like the messy AF draft. Step number four is the second pass, which is going through and zhuzhing everything, looking at it with fresh eyes, editing ruthlessly. Step number five is recording and editing and making sure that you do that in a way that doesn't feel energetically draining. And step number six is release and refinement. So like I said, for Traffic Playbook, I am currently at the beginning of step kind of 4 to 5. And so it's starting to feel like a lighter lift. I'm starting to get really excited about the potential of it. I'm looking for opportunities where I can add additional things in. I'm at a similar stage with rinse and repeat. And yeah, I just thought it would be interesting to peek behind the curtains into what I'm doing behind the scenes to bring it all to life. All right, guys. Well, that is it for today's podcast episode. I hope you enjoyed this peek behind the curtains. If you want more content like this and you're not yet subscribed to the podcast, please make sure that you do that. We have some very exciting things coming in pretty much post March with the podcast and a whole heap of different things. Like I said, I'm very much in that creation phase at the moment, and I've got my head down until about this time next month. Then I'm going to Bali for a week just to celebrate getting it all done. So if you're following me on Instagram, you might see me with a cocktail in hand, but know that I've done the hard work before that to get to that particular point. But then after that, we've got some really exciting things coming with the podcast and newsletter, and I can't wait to announce it all, but make sure that you're subscribed so that you do get the announcements when they come out. Okay, guys, until next week, I'll see you then. If you enjoyed this week's episode of Lifestyle Business School, the podcast, I invite you to check out our Lifestyle Business School membership. The Lifestyle Business School membership is the complete operating system for building an expertise-based online business to the lifestyle business sweet spot. It is the resource for every current, aspiring, and advanced business owner wanting to start, build, or grow a leveraged expertise-based business. Think courses, coaching, online business, online education, anyone looking to build a business around their expertise in a leveraged way where your value is divorced from your time. Whether you're starting from scratch and you're looking to start building an audience and create an irresistible offer, or you're already established and you want the systems and processes to deliver and market and sell better so that you can grow, Lifestyle Business School, the membership, will help you to get there. Get access to our complete step-by-step operating system. This isn't all theory. This is templates and resources and everything you need to define your end game and business model, to build out every step of your leveraged business machine, from offers to lead generation to live launching to automated selling systems and back-end delivery processes. And become a part of our active community of like-minded business owners with regular trainings and everything you need to start, build, and grow with a unique focus on building a lifestyle business over relentless scale at any cost. We would love to have you join us in Lifestyle Business School, the membership. Come and check it out and join us at lifestylebusiness.school today.